Hey, this morning, we've got some of our servants' council coming today. We almost missed something in the midst of COVID and all that's been going on. And our servants' council wanted to take just a few moments this morning for pastor appreciation. And anyway, welcome Jeff Stanley, would you?
Thank you. I want to take just a few minutes here and, you know, on behalf of the Servants' Council and our church body, just recognize the hard work that these men and women have done for us. Pillars of faith standing here week in, week out, supporting us, giving us what we need spiritually, you know, offering prayers and direction and guidance through that, and also just a conduit for the Holy Spirit to work. And they're awesome. And I'm going to read through the cards just so I don't forget anybody. You know, just a small token of appreciation from the congregation. And, you know, it's just a small gift that we can give to say thank you for all
your
hard work.
Yeah, this isn't just about Tracy and I. We've got an amazing team here. And every one of them serve incredibly. So we really want to honor and bless all of our team.
All right, so Pastor Jeff and Tracy.
Thank you, Jeff.
Pastor Bert and Carla. Jen Hansen, Glenn, and Janine. So
amen.
Each one of those individuals, if you see them out and about today, be sure to just thank them and, you know, lift them up in their prayer, in your prayers, because they need that. And actually, I'm going to close in prayer.
Okay.
And just bless you guys as we go out. Dear God, I thank you for the leadership and the guidance that your Holy Spirit can work through these leaders that we have in the church, Lord. And I thank you for just the direction that you have taken this church, Lord, all the stretching and moving and different avenues that we now have to reach out to the people. And Lord, that has come from these leaders just getting together and brainstorming and And Lord, the peace that you have worked through them and been able to offer to our congregation and those around in our community, Lord. Lord, I thank you for their constant devotion to this church and to you, Lord. And just lifting you up and putting you first and not doing it for their own glory, but like we sang today, just because of you, Jesus, that they're able to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much. Let's give the Lord praise. We're so thankful, you guys. So incredibly thankful for your support and your love. A couple more thoughts about Beautiful Resistance real quick. Maybe you'd like to lead a group. This isn't just about our staff leading this. Maybe you have a couple of friends you'd like to invite. Please let us know. We'd love to put it on the sheet. We'd love to advertise it. It's the month of December, January. You can start whenever. You can do it whatever time. It's just about connecting people. We want everybody here in the church, whether they're able to come and physically be here or still joining us online, to feel connected. So let us know. If you'd like to lead one and you have a couple friends that'll go through it with you, that'd be great. That would be absolutely great. Those of you who'd like to come out Wednesday night for our launch, Tracy and I's launch for our little group, read the introduction and the first chapter. And by the way, what she was saying earlier is fine. You can get it on Audible, and you can listen to the book. So that works too. So anyway, excited about Beautiful Resistance. All right, well, a little bit, we love to laugh around here, and sometimes it's just such a, can be such a difficult time. So just a little bit of fun before we get into the word this morning. Amen. I love these signs at this little restaurant in Texas. I just realized my trash goes out more than me. How many of you feel that way in this era of quarantining? Yesterday, Tracy and I actually got out a little bit. We had a return to make at good old Home Depot, and we got out there and we were like, oh my gosh, there's nobody quarantining today. I'm telling you what. There were people all over the place and the traffic was crazy. And so check this out, you know. I just tested positive for missing my homies. You know, I'm so glad we're back together today, and it's so good to see everybody. And we miss you guys that aren't yet able to join us. We're praying for you. I don't even know who this next guy is, but I love what he had to say, and it kind of actually moves us into our our message. Some poor phoneless fool is probably sitting next to a waterfall somewhere, totally unaware of how angry and scared he's supposed to be. I thought that was a great, great little quote. Don't know who the guy is. I hope he's not a bad guy. But anyway, pretty interesting thought. Because we're living in a day and a time where there's a lot of fear that's being stirred, a lot of concern, a lot of challenges. And this morning, I want to share a message with you. I'm kind of going back, if you will, in a sense, to kind of where we started in this whole thing with the quarantine back in March. And one of the first pictures that God gave me was just that whole picture of the storm and Jesus in the storm. And I kind of want to go back there. And my message this morning is, you're the God who performs miracles. You're the God who performs miracles. I think it's a helpful reminder for us today. And I want to share a scripture with you today that I think is prophetic. And hear my heart in this morning. A lot of us have been talking about how bad 2020 has been, how much has been stolen, how much has been taken, how bad a year it's been. We have complained and griped and grumbled. Can I share a scripture with you this morning? Regardless of what this year has been for you thus far, listen to these words. Psalm 65:11. You crown the year with your bounty. How about we start confessing that right now? How about we start believing that right now? 2020 is not over yet. God can turn it around for you. God can bring blessing to you in this last month of the year. You can stop talking about how bad it's been and start believing God for something good to crown the end of the year. Amen? So would you just receive that today and just kind of get a change of perspective, if you will. And this morning I want to share with you out of Psalm 77, kind of our theme scripture for today, and then we'll get into the story of the storm here in just a moment, because I feel like a lot of us have felt that we've been in a storm. This past week, if I could kind of summarize it for you very quickly, I found myself about midweek feeling so overwhelmed. A number of things just began to pile one on top of another, including some very challenging personal things within our family. And suddenly I felt like I was in the boat with the waves coming over the side and I was about to go down and drown. And it took a little bit of a fight to get out of that mindset. It took some time in God's presence. It took some time worshiping Him. It took some time just quoting scripture and standing in prayer and getting some others to pray for me. The enemy was really trying to bring me down. And I feel like there's just been a wearying work of hell that's been leveraged against many of us in this season. None of us saw it coming, and none of us could have guessed how long it would last. This season, just every time you think you're coming out of it, then you go back down into it again, and it's just been wearying on a lot of our souls. So this morning, I want to bring a word of encouragement and hope to you. And I want you to believe with me that God will crown this year with His bounty and that you'll end this year on a positive note, not on a negative note. Psalm 77 says this, "What God is as great as our God?" Let me just say that again because that is powerful. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. And this morning, I want to remind us that our God's a miracle-working God. And when there's craziness going on, when there's all kinds of stuff that would try to get our attention off of the Lord, God's still a miracle worker. He's still in the miracle working business. He still knows how to meet the needs of His people. He still knows how to do what no one else can do. If you look at the Gospels, you will find that there's essentially 35 recorded miracles in the Gospels. 35, and they break down this way. 17 bodily cures where Jesus heals somebody physically. 6 times there's deliverance for those who are bound by demonic spirits. Three times Jesus raises somebody from the dead. And nine times Jesus speaks a miracle against a force of nature, and there's a breakthrough and a blessing that comes. And can I just say this to you? And I don't know if you've ran across this verse, but this verse to me is a fun, really cool verse. John chapter 21. This is not all Jesus did, what I just went through, that list of miracles. That's not all Jesus did. Listen to this. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Now, you might look at that and go, really? Well, you know what? Jesus has been existent since before the beginning of time, folks. He was right there with the Father and the Holy Spirit creating this earth. Think about all the things that Jesus has done. This is exactly right. There's no way the books of the earth could hold all the goodness of our God and all the powerful things that Jesus has done. And that's talking about how much he's done. And guess what? He's still doing it. He's still doing it. There could still be books written. I'm teaching a high school class in our academy, and I'm loving it, ninth grade Bible, and we're looking at the book Miracles by Eric Metaxas. If you haven't read it, you ought to read it. It's a good one. And it's pretty cool because the first half is just a case for miracles, and the second half is just all about miracle testimonies. And Eric, when he's writing the book, he said, you know what? I determined that I wouldn't include any testimonies from anyone I didn't know personally and know them well. And he said it was amazing because just those I knew well had more than enough miracles they'd experienced personally for me to fill the second half of the book. And I tell you what, you can choose to believe that miracles still happen, and guess what? You'll see miracles all around you. You can choose to believe they don't, and you probably won't see much happen. But I'm telling you, God's a miracle-working God. He wants to work in your situation today. He wants to continue to do what only he can do. And I'm so thankful for a breakthrough that he brought to my soul this week because I felt swamped like these guys on the boat we're going to read about in just a minute. And God just came and brought his peace because Jesus loves to calm storms. Jesus loves to calm the wind and the waves in our lives. It's interesting when you look at this story. You know, there's four gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And those four gospels are four people's perspective on the story and the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. We're going to really kind of look at two of them today as we focus in on this one particular story. And it's Matthew's perspective on it and Mark's perspective on it. Same story, just two different authors and two different perspectives. And we're going to pull a little bit of details from each of the two. So let's start this morning with Mark chapter 4. Just in case you've been in a storm, and I know you have, many of you. And you've been fighting. And God wants to bring a breakthrough to you today. Amen? Mark chapter 4. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." I want you to notice those words. When Jesus says something's going to happen, you can go to the bank on that. You can count on it. Jesus said, "We're going to go to the other side." You're going to make it to the other side. And let me just say, I want to say this even prophetically over many of you here today. You're going to make it to the other side of this pandemic. You're going to make it to the other side of this crisis. You're going to make it to the other side of this season. And there's going to be a season of blessing ahead for you. Maybe you've wondered, is there anything more ahead for me? Yes, there absolutely is. You're going to make it to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. Boy, there's a great decision, right? Because he said, "Let us go over to the other side." You know what? Take Jesus with you, and he's going to get you to the other side. He knows how to make that journey. So they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And listen to these words. A furious squall came up. I love those two words, furious squall. Now, that's a pretty good storm. Remember, these guys, most of them are fishermen. So when this thing hit, it wasn't just some light little storm. This wasn't just a little downpour. This was a big storm that came up. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. There's a pretty graphic word. In other words, the boat had almost taken on so much water that the boat was going to sink. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now I want you to know something. We're going to turn over to Matthew now. Matthew chapter 8, where Matthew gives us this, his version of this story. And this is really important. Jesus is going to speak to these disciples before he speaks to the storm. And I just want you to notice that. He's going to speak to them before he speaks to the storm. And this morning, I think he's going to speak to you before he changes the circumstances around you. In fact, maybe the greatest breakthrough he wants to bring this morning is in you, before he brings a breakthrough around you. Well, the breakthrough's coming. You're going to get to the other side. But maybe he wants to change something on the inside before he changes that which is on the outside, the external. Matthew chapter 8, he replied, "You of little faith." It's a pretty frequent reply of Jesus to the disciples. Why is that? Because they're struggling. Because their faith is still being formed. Because they're still growing in their faith. You know, we all go through that. We all go through a process where God really wants us to grow in our faith and our trust and our belief in Him. In fact, Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And these guys, they're having a struggle in their faith. They're still, this is still pretty early on in the Gospels, and they're still growing, okay? And then he says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. I don't know if you've ever been out on a lake or on the ocean or on a sea or something like that, a big body of water, when there was a big storm. I have. It's pretty frightening. On the flip side of the coin, I don't know if you've ever been out on a lake or a big body of water when it was completely calm. It's probably one of the most serene moments that you will experience, when it's just like glass. The water's just like glass. Anybody ever been out in a boat like that at that time? It's just beautiful. Something so incredibly peaceful. This scene just makes this dramatic change. Did you notice it? From the furious squall to completely calm. From the furious squall to completely calm. And Jesus wants to speak to you today before he speaks to the storm, so that what's in you becomes completely calm. Regardless of what's around you, what's surrounding you, what you're having to endure and walk through. I really believe that. He got up, he rebuked the winds and the waves, completely calm. The men were amazed and asked. Listen to this question, really important question. They've been hanging out with him for a while. They've seen some miracles already. They have a definite idea of who he is. They've left everything behind to follow him. But look at this question. It's pretty interesting. What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. This is really interesting because I think they're getting to know Jesus in a different way. I think in the midst of the storm, Jesus is showing them something they hadn't realized before about himself. See, maybe before the storms, they thought they knew Jesus. Sometimes In all honesty, we really get to know Jesus when we go through a difficult time. Sometimes, you know, in all the celebration and the hoopla and the excitement and the high times of praise and worship and our gatherings and our celebration, man, it's good and God is good and we love it. But boy, when things get tough, that's when your faith really deepens. That's when you really seem to get to know the Lord in a newfound and powerful way. Maybe before the storms, they thought they knew Jesus, but sometimes we really get to know him in the midst of the storms. Or could I say it this way? We get to know a part of him that we possibly have never known before. It's really interesting what happens here, right? Because Jesus is sleeping. In this storm that threatened the very disciples, these fishermen's lives, Jesus is so full of peace, he's literally asleep. I want you to just kind of get your mind and your heart around that just a little bit this morning. I want you to think about that. In other words, Jesus is so full of peace on the inside that it really didn't matter what was going on the outside. Can you imagine you having that kind of reality? Can I just say to you, one of the most important things you will possibly do in your walk with God is guard your peace. The Bible says this. It says that the peace of God guards your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's literally a military term, meaning that like a garrison of soldiers, God is wanting to guard the peace of God in your heart and your mind. Have you ever intentionally decided, I'm going to guard the peace of God in my life? I'm going to guard it. Every day there's a war against it. Every day something's trying to steal it, but I'm going to guard it. I think one of the most important things you can do is to guard God's peace. You know what? You're going through your day, right? You're going through your day, and you get a phone call, and then you have an appointment, and it's busy, and you're running here, and you're running there, and all of a sudden you wake up to the reality, what happened to my peace? Because you're feeling anxious, you're feeling afraid, you're feeling alone, you're feeling lots of things. By the way, it's really helpful and good that you can identify those feelings, right? Because they help you monitor where you're at in your walk with God and where you're at in that reality. And all of a sudden, you stop and you go, that phone call somehow, not a bad phone call, but somehow it stole my peace. So I need to go back to where I lost my peace, and I need to regain it. Because God doesn't want me living in absence of his peace. One of the things that ought to really define us, guys, really define us in these days, is that we're people of serene peace. That the world can come unglued, but we've got a peace that's deeper. We've got a peace that anchors us. So, you know, when Jesus spoke peace to the storm, what happened? It sat down. That storm sat down. That storm had no other choice. He had the peace. He had so much peace within him because Jesus could rest even in the midst of conflict. Jesus could rest and he could walk in peace even when everything else around him was not peaceful. And so he rises up. What's he do? He releases that which was within him until it redefined the environment. You see what happened? I always like to kind of play that game, you know, that just, what would have happened if they hadn't woke him up? I don't know exactly, but somehow Jesus' peace would have overcame. Somehow Jesus' peace would have redefined the environment. Somehow those disciples would have been saved. Maybe it was for them to have stood up and said, you know what? Peace be still. But Jesus is so full of peace that literally that which is within him redefines the environment around him. It's just awesome. In other words, the peace of God inside him was greater than the furious squall around him. And that's the way I think the Lord wants it for you. So you may not have seen it before, you may not have realized it, but there's three types of storms mentioned in this passage. There's physical storms, and that's oftentimes where things start. There's kind of a progression that happens, and I want you to kind of catch this. Physical storms are going to happen. They're going to happen to me, they're going to happen to you. The wind, the waves, the rain, maybe there was lightning and thunder. It was real. This pandemic that we've been walking through is real. I don't think any of us are sitting around going, oh, this is all just a hoax. No, there's a disease out there that's affecting people in lots of different ways, and we should be careful and cautious about it. We shouldn't be ignorant to it. You know, there's a real storm that none of us anticipated. But physical storms can turn into something else. Have you noticed that through these months? If you're not careful, the worry and the pressure and the frustration of the physical storm can lead you to marital problems. It can lead you to being short, to being harsh, to not speaking kindly, to being angry. My daughter, you know, I think I said this last week, my daughter works at Starbucks, and almost every day she comes home and has a grumpy customer story. You know, Dad, oh man, you just wouldn't believe today. I mean, people are stressed, they're tense. A physical storm can lead to an emotional storm, like fear, excessive worry, loss of patience, anger, frustration, anxiety. You know, in so many ways, for many of us, it's just this feeling of a loss of control. We can't control it, and we like to control things. Maybe God's trying to get something through to us. Hello? And it's really stressing us out. But, you know, if they just remember that Jesus had said, we're going to the other side. We are going to the other side. Where are we going, disciples? To the other side. That's where we're going. Are we going to make it? You better believe we're going to make it. Jesus said we are. We've got to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And you know what? An emotional storm can then turn into a spiritual storm. Can turn into a spiritual. The disciples came to the place where literally they said, don't you care if we drown, Lord? I mean, just get your arms around that, right? These are the guys Jesus is living with, doing life with. They're crying together. They're celebrating together. They're breaking bread together. And these disciples have gotten to the place where literally they don't even think the Lord cares about them anymore. Can I just say that's bad theology. That's exactly what that is. Those guys gave into a case of bad theology and they didn't even know it. If you ever get to the place where you question God's care for you, you're really giving into bad theology. You're really not understanding God's heart, that He never turns away from you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. But sometimes if we're not careful, even those of us who've been around the church for a while can start to think things we should not think about God. Aren't you interested in us? And you know, really what's happening here is storms have a way of revealing things deep down within that need to come out. They really do. I want to see us allow the Lord to calm all three storms in our lives, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Because think about this. What if the miracle wasn't the storm that Jesus calmed on the outside? What if the real miracle was the storm He calmed on the inside? Amen. What if Jesus wants to grow us to the place in Him that we can stand strong in the midst of any storm and praise God? Let me say something here, and this isn't going to be popular. What if this pandemic, what if the racial turmoil, what if all the election confusion, what if all the things that we've been through over these past several months are not all that's coming? What if those are not all that's ahead? What if there's more? What if there are more challenges and more difficulties and more unexpected things that come down the pike? What are we going to do? Well, let me just say, if we let Jesus do His work in us and we guard the peace that's within, It really won't matter what those things are. We'll be able to walk through it with his peace and his presence. How many of you hear what I'm saying? I tend to think this, guys. I think God's preparing us. I'm not trying to be an omen of bad things. I just think there's more challenging days ahead, and we better let God do what he wants to do in us so that we're ready for those days. All right, let me share three things with you, and then we'll close today. So God wants there to be an anchor to your soul. And if you've been out on the water before, you know what an anchor does. Hebrews 6:19 says this, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." I've been on boats many times, sometimes really big boats, and it's really interesting to see a huge anchor go down. Wow, those things are amazing. If you've been like on a cruise ship or something, to see that anchor. But we're anchored. Number one, we're anchored when we cultivate God's presence. There's a picture of an anchor. What's an anchor do? It goes all the way to the bottom of the ocean or the lake or whatever it is. And it's designed so that it will drag on the bottom and ultimately catch onto something that is immovable, so to speak. Something that literally will cause that anchor to be stuck. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat. I've been a few times in a boat when our anchor got so stuck, regardless of which way we went, we couldn't get it unstuck. Now, that's an interesting experience. But it's supposed to get stuck so that it holds you in place. And so that there's just a small radius that your boat is going to be able to drift. You're held in place by that anchor. And these days and the days to come, whatever they may bring, we're anchored when we cultivate God's presence. Let me just show you, once again, Psalm 91. It's one that you ought to probably be memorizing. Hide it in your heart that you might have it there ready so that you can just, I'm finding such joy, such comfort, such peace in God's word. And I'm memorizing out of several different translations. I'm literally finding these verses that are anchors for my soul. And I'm going to the YouVersion. I'm looking at them in several translations. And I'm finding the one that really sparks something in my heart. And I'm memorizing it. And then daily, I'm just meditating on it. It's like chewing on it and just getting more and more nutrients for my soul out of it. It's so powerful. Psalm 91, whoever dwells, look at that word dwell. That means spending time. It means staying in the presence, the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. So many times we talk about peace as the absence of something. Peace is the absence of war. Peace is the absence of conflict. Peace is the absence of this, that, or the other. Can I just say to you, peace actually is the presence of someone. It's not the absence of anything. It's the presence of someone. The peace God wants you to have and wants you to walk in, it is not determined by whether or not there's bad circumstances around you. It's stronger than the circumstances around you. It's like an anchor that keeps you steady regardless of what else is going on. That's the kind of peace God wants us to have. By the way, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. It's all about him. If he's in you, his spirit in you, it'll anchor you and hold you regardless of what's happening in this world. Number two, we're anchored when we remember God's promises. When we remember God's promises. The word of God is an anchor. I just mentioned to you. Start, listen, maybe you... Some of you believed a lie, you can't memorize a scripture. You know that's not true. Your brain is a muscle, and the more it's exercised, the more it will remember. Don't believe that you can't memorize something. You can. You know, for me, what I have to do is not just say it a number of times, I have to write it a number of times. And I don't know what it is about me, but that seals it for me. If I will write it several times, I'll have it. And then Tracy and I have these wonderful times together. It's kind of our date time, our special time. We'll quote our scriptures to one another. It's awesome, isn't it, honey? It's just really precious. And we'll challenge each other. And sometimes she brought up a scripture the other day. I'm like, I want to memorize that one too. That's really good. Really, really good. We're anchored when we remember his promises. Jesus said, whoever builds their house upon the rock. What's the rock? It's God's unchanging word. Remember, when it comes to God's unchanging word, it's not just about hearing it. It's about doing it too. It's about putting it into practice. Psalm 119, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I put my hope in your word. In other words, for folks, don't let your circumstances speak louder than God's word in your life. Some of us, we're over here watching, you know, the news channel for 4 hours, you know, or we've got the radio on all day throughout the day, and we're getting bombarded with all kinds of craziness, and then we spend 5 minutes in God's word. Which do you think's going to win out? Are you putting your hope in God's word? Are you putting your hope in talk radio and social media and the news channel? Listen, turn that around. Spend more time giving precedence to God's word, making it the anchor, making it the foundation. Don't let your circumstances speak louder than God's word. And then number three, we're anchored when we understand God's process. His presence, his promises, his process. Remember it. His presence, his promises, his process. This applies to every one of us here today and those of us watching. And in his presence, there's fullness of joy. His promises are a rock you can stand upon and you can count on. And his process is to make you more like Christ. Day in and day out, he's working. He's wanting to see his transforming power at work within your heart and life. Let me ask you a question today. What if the disciples had known in their hearts that Jesus was trying to teach them something through the storm? Do you think they might have had a different reaction? I absolutely do. What if they just known Jesus was trying to teach them something? What if you just walked out of here today? What if you, when you turn off the Facebook Live stream today, what if you go, okay, God, I know through all of this, you're trying to teach me something. Help me to learn it deep down within so that it will never be stolen, never be taken. If they just remembered that he'd said, we're going to the other side, then maybe they would have viewed the journey differently and reacted in a very different way. Remember, Jesus spoke to his disciples before he spoke to the storm. That's just incredibly important. Jesus has something for us in every crisis. Some have put it this way, and I think it's pretty good. God never wastes a crisis. He's got something for you, positive, powerful, life-changing in this. Something that'll help you grow into the big people that he wants you to be in him. Listen, some of us are so caught up in the frenzied news of our day regarding a number of things that we may well miss out on what God wants to say to us in these days. What does God want to say? Let me sum it up with this verse, Romans 5, 2 through 4. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. See, trouble doesn't build your character, but it sure, by golly, reveals it. And it reveals it in such a way that you and I can know, hey, God wants to do something in me. He's got a bigger picture in mind. He's got a process that he wants to walk me through. Suffering does produce something. And you and I can be better through all of this if we'll just let God do his work on the inside of us. What's he doing in you? What has he revealed in you through all of this? Have you ever weathered a storm in your life without being anchored to Jesus? Wow. How do you think your experience would have been different if his hope had been your anchor? What if the miracle wasn't the storm that Jesus calmed on the outside, but the storm he calmed on the inside? How does he want to calm your storm? What storm's occurring in you that you need Jesus to calm? And how do you think understanding God's process will help you develop in these days, both emotionally and spiritually? Would you close your eyes, bow your heads? I want to pray over you today. Father, thank you that you are with us in the midst of all we're walking through, and you want to do something good in each of us through this time and this season. Have your way. Do your work. Make us more like you in Jesus' strong name. And everybody said amen. Can you give the Lord praise this morning? Let's all stand together. God bless you. Thanks for coming today. Have a wonderful day. I got to tell you, it's so great to see each and every one of you. So great to have you joining us. God bless you all. Lord, go with us and let your light shine through us. And let your face shine upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.